I will read just some verses from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Glory be to God. Amen. I like this word, ambassador. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of being ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ? Imagine the ambassador of United States in India did something wrong, personally. Can he say it is a personal fault, or it will be attributed to all United States? To all United States. They will say, oh, United States, or the ambassador of USA, said so and so, or commit so and so. And what he does, in fact, is attributed directly to his country. We are, in fact, the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul said. And this was the feeling that from all the heart of St. Paul, that he was here in this world as an ambassador of the Lord, as an agency of heaven itself. And this is, in fact, the source of his power and strength in witnessing to the, I don't say only to the Lord Jesus Christ, but when I say to the Lord, I mean to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first question, how can I truly practice this work as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ? As the Lord said to his disciple, you have to start by Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then all over the world. We have to start with ourselves, with Jerusalem. I asked myself how the Lord Jesus Christ prepared the disciples to be his own ambassadors. At first, he chose them, and he said to them, I chose you, you do not choose me. This was, in fact, the reality of the disciples and the apostles. From their own selves, they have no merit. They are not worthy to be ambassador of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to be the agency of heaven. While they have this body, they are complaining of the lust of the body, they are complaining of their weakness, but at the same time, they were chosen to be ambassadors of Christ, to be agency of God. Now I asked myself how the Lord chose them, but not only those who are in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. If we look to Moses in the Old Testament, surely God chose him even before he was born. And he was born in very critical situation. the children, the boys of all the Hebrews were killed by the order of the king of Egypt. All the families were in grief. Everything was very black. Everything was very complicated. If any one of us in the situation of Moses, surely he would desire to die than to be a leader in this bad circumstance. Everything is in fact complicated. Nothing was easy for him. God chose him before he was born. And even when he was born, according to our human wisdom, there is no preparation for him. He was thrown in the river. He was received by the daughter of the king of Egypt. He haven't any education in Hebrew school. I think he didn't meet any of the leaders of the Jews or the Hebrews in Egypt. And in these bad situations, God chose him to work and to be the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, so that he might feel it is not by his own work, by his own wisdom, by his own education, by his own authority, that he became an ambassador of God. He lived for 40 years in the palace of the king of Egypt. He learned the wisdom of the Egyptian, as St. Paul said in the epistle of the Hebrews. And he imagined that he now has a wisdom, he has authority, he became the son of the daughter of the king, he can take special situation or position in Egypt, and he can deliver his people. And what happened? He lost everything when he tried just to defend the Hebrew person against the Egyptian person, and he killed him, and he escaped. For how many years? 40 years. He lost everything. Imagine His Grace and Suriel said, I will choose a priest or a person to be ordained a priest, his age 80 years. What is the reflection? What is the response of the people? If he declares, oh, we have a good person, he's 80 years old, he's very spiritual person, we will ordain him a priest. What will be the response in all the people? What do you believe? Can they accept that? Happy? 8 years? Never. Never. 8 years, he says, oh, I am ready to pass from this world. God chose Moses while he was 8 years. He spent 40 years in taking care of sheep and animals. He lost all his authority, all his wisdom. I believe when God asked him to go to Egypt to deliver his people, he says, oh, now after I became very old. When you read the psalm which Moses wrote, you know which number? How many psalms Moses wrote? One. Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, what he said? He said, the age of man, how many years? 70. If he is very strong, 80. After 80, you can't imagine he can do anything. God chose him when he felt totally dead. He can't do anything. Then he said to him, I will give you a gift, also another 40 years. Then Moses was like a dead person. He lost his wisdom. He lost his energy. He lost his and all the abilities to work. And then God said to him, I chose you to be the greatest person or greatest prophet who can deliver the people from the slavery of the Pharaoh, of the king of Egypt. This is in fact the wisdom of God. At first he chose us. Sometimes we feel, oh, I am very bad. My thoughts are very bad. I am very weak. I am struggling with thoughts. I have many lusts. How can I witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One, who is the Heavenly One, and I am here from this world? I am complaining even from my body, from my thoughts. This is the work of God. He created from nil what is unlimited. Then Moses, in fact, equal zero, nothing. We put Moses plus the grace of God, what equal what? Unlimited. It is not his work. Then when we say we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not because we are from good family, from the religious family. We are very polite. We are very gentle men or gentle ladies. We are his own. He can change everything. Even what is bad in us can be changed for the progress of the kingdom of God. I tell you a story, real story. Once a person used to confess in Alexandria while he was admitting to the university in Alexandria for 4 years. I never saw any person who was complaining of the bad thoughts like this person. He was almost every night weeping, and he made many mataniyat, and he used to say, please God, take off. I want to get rid of all my bad thoughts. And he, for 4 years, as if there is no response at all from God. After many years, I met him in Upper Egypt. When I met him, I asked him, what about your spiritual life? He said, oh, Father, the 4 years which I lived in Alexandria, in fact, was very, very important for my progress, for the salvation of many young people, and for the edification of the church. I said, how? He said, you know, in Upper Egypt, it is hard for any of young people, boys or girls, to speak frankly with the priest, because they looks like small community. They are afraid from the priest that he will take bad idea about him or about his family. It was too hard for them to confess. And they was far away from the church. They didn't care about their salvation. He started to speak with them. When I was in your age, I was complaining for 4 years. And I was confessing, I never felt shame to speak frankly with Abuna. And now God granted me purity and chastity. I am in touch with my Lord. And I felt all these 4 years, I gained many things from God, many gifts, blessings from God. I believe that I will be crowned not for these years, but for that years, the 4 years which I was in battle or fighting with thoughts. He said, you can't imagine how the meeting, the youth meeting, became very developed, and many people came and they started to confess after repentance. And not only in our village, but many villages I used to make, and countries in the area, to have young meetings for the young people. Then even what is bad in our lives, God can change it for the witnessing to Jesus Christ. I know many, many persons who lived in sin. When they repented and confessed and lived in Christ, the bad experience supported them to preach. I tell you another story, real story. Once I heard about a honey, she was not married, but she was then about 45 years old. And she was left with many non-Christian persons. She lost all her chastity, all her purity. She lived in sin for a long time, many years. And she wanted to convert, or to, she denied the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept Islam. Then I heard, she was not from Alexandria. I heard she is living in very bad hotel in Alexandria, and she sent a letter to the police station to change her religion. I took one of the young people, who he is married, he's a very nice person, one of the youth, and because I can't enter a place like that alone. Then I went to the hotel, I asked, is so-and-so is here? They said yes. I asked to meet her. She was very tough. She said, I hate Jesus, I hate the church, I don't want to speak with any priest. You can meet me in the police station, and so on. This is what she learned from the police station, as usual in Egypt. Then, while I tried to speak with her, her heart was totally closed. The deacon who was with me looked to her and said, do you think Father or the Abuna is a righteous person, or he is an angel coming from heaven? He is a sinner like you and like me. Do you know, I loved a Muslim lady while I was very young, and I want to be converted to Islam. I look to this lady as if she is more beautiful than God himself. And he started to speak. Then she started to say, and what you did? He said, I read the Bible. I discovered the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I discovered how God is my Father, and he is waiting and welcoming me. And now I am very happy with my wife, with my children. Then she said, and what can I do? He said, nothing, come with us. She took her clothes and came with me to the church and lived about 3 months in the house of Abuna Bshoy, and also in my house. We have two apartments in the same house. And she lived in chastity, purity. She loved the church, but she didn't give us the correct address or from which city she came. And suddenly the Muslim person, he was a laborer, and he became in touch with her, and they arranged it to go to the, what they called, I don't know even in Arabic or in English, a special place for marriage, the civil marriage, not a court. She went to make a contract for marriage, civil marriage, with the Muslim. I imagined she would go there. I headed to the place, I found her. I said, where are you going? She became very shy. She lived with us 6 months. I said to her, don't worry, come with me. I went to the patriarchate because it is near this place. And I started to speak with her about Christ, how after this 6 months you will return to sin and so on. And suddenly I found somebody knocking the door. I asked, please, don't, nobody knock the door. He said, no, Mona, please, there is an urgent call. I said, what? He said, the person coming from Cairo, he wants to speak with you just 1 minute. I said, okay, I will not leave the room. He can speak while I am on the door. I was astonished. He said to me, do you know a person called so-and-so, the lady? I said, who told you? He said, we discovered it yesterday. I am her cousin, and I am a lawyer. I came to marry her. I was astonished. Timing, very critical. Then I said to her, do you have a cousin and his name so? She said, "How do you know?" I said, "He want to marry you." She said, "Impossible. He knows everything about my bad life and about all my situation." I said, "God sent him. I don't see him except today, and he is ready to make the marriage now." She said, "Sure?" I said, "Yes. I'll bring now the contract, and we make the marriage." And now she lives in Cairo with her children, with her husband. I said, "How she was attracted by a fault of one of the deacons. God uses even our faults. Even our faults can use it for the salvation, for witnessing to Jesus Christ. Don't be worried. What is good in our lives, what is bad in our lives, everything, when we put our lives in the hands of God, God will change everything for witnessing to Jesus Christ." From about a couple of months, I was thinking in St. Paul. I asked myself a question. St. Paul in the epistle to Galatians said that God separated me, he chose him while he was, what about his age? Do you remember when God chose St. Paul? He said, "While I was in the womb of my mother, he chose me. He separated me specially for witnessing to Jesus Christ." How St. Paul can say that while he lived a long time as a Jew, and he was very zealous of the Jewish tradition, he was very literal in understanding the Old Testament, he was persecuting the church, he was blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ, all his efforts was devoted to abolish the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to destroy the church. How he felt that God chose him while he was born, while he was in the womb of his mother. Why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't choose him among the 12 disciples? If God chose him while he was in the womb of his mother, why he didn't choose him among the 70 apostles while the Lord was here in this world before his ascension to heaven? I want you to make a comparison between two situations. If Saint Paul was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was very zealous to witness to Jesus Christ, and he started to witness before the Gentiles, surely he would be in failure. As a Jewish person, all the Jews, almost all of them, especially in Jerusalem, they knew him. He was very zealous. He was very close to the high priest. He has many messages from the high priest to persecute the church and everywhere, especially in Damascus. And they knew him that he was a disciple of Gamaliel, the teacher, greatest teacher at that time. In his mind, he was the most righteous man in the whole world. Perhaps after Gamaliel. He believed he was more righteous than the high priest, the Pharisees. He was very zealous. He devoted all his effort to serve God by destroying the Church of Christ. When he was converted and the Jews started to attack him, he has a very great proof. He said to them, "Don't say I am deceived. Nobody can deceive me. I was not in need of money. I was not in need of authority. I was not in need of any kind of prestige. I loved the Jewish tradition. I was very zealous. I was very righteous. I persecuted the church. Then when I was converted, it is not by any human effort. It is even not by my just confidence by logic. It is by revelation from heaven itself. Three times in the book of Acts, he related, or the book of Acts related the story of the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ when he called him when he was on his way to Damascus. Before the ruler, before the Jews in Rome, and I believe he told this story to thousands of the people in the meetings or personally in private meetings. Then, as St. Paul, for this long time, he was far away from the truth and he was converted. Then when he spoke with the Gentiles or even with the Jews, he told them it is a divine call and this is the proof that I persecuted the church. And now it is my pleasure to be persecuted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel happy that I die every day for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other way, in other words, we have to believe God chose us. He wants us to be his ambassadors. He wants us to be his agency. Don't look to your own self, concentrate on the Holy Trinity, and believe that God, through his grace, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through your true membership of the church, you will be great ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at first, we have to believe and trust God chose me to be his ambassador. Second thing, God also lived among his disciples. He chose them, the disciples and the apostles, and he lived among them. He ate with them. He spent many nights with them. He spent almost about 3 years with them. They saw him while he was eating, while he was drinking, while he was praying, while he was alone. He left them to go alone to the mountain to spend all the night speaking with his father and so on. They enjoyed the life with the Lord Jesus Christ. They discovered he is the resurrection himself. He is the door that is open so that we may enter in the bosom of the Father. He is, in fact, the truth. By him we are illuminated and we will not be in darkness. He is everything for us. The same thing, what happened with the disciples and the apostles to be prepared as ambassadors of Christ had been happened with Moses. Moses, when he was chosen, almost as if he left his family, but he was very close to his family. But the majority of his time was in the tabernacle. It was his joy to enter in the tent of God, or the tabernacle, the small tent before the great tabernacle was made. And on his entrance, the glory of God was revealed to the whole camp. All the Jews used to go outside their tents and look how the glory is revealed even outside, and how the tent was full of glory, the glory of God. And on his meeting with the people, they couldn't see his face. They asked him to put a veil on his face so that they can speak with him. It is not for Moses alone. It is for me, for you, for every one of us. God is ready to dwell in you. He asked us that we accept that he might abide in me and I abide in him. It is his pleasure that the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father and the Holy Spirit dwell in my heart, and he accepts my heart as a new heaven. We call St. Mary the new heaven or the second heaven. It is not for her alone. The Lord Jesus Christ was incarnated in the St. Mary and accepted his humanity from her. He wants also to dwell in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our inner man. And as we heard now in the second Corinthians, we became new creation. We have new life. We have the risen life. Therefore, we are in need to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we accept that he lives within us. It is his pleasure to come. He came here to this world so that he may come to every heart. He is ready. If we want to summarize all our Orthodox Church, I can summarize it. It is the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Saint John Chrysostom used to say, the Church is the new life in Christ. Don't say, I am a sinner. Truly, we are sinners. We have to repent. We have to confess. We have to be real members of the Church, the, as I said, the new creation. And what is marvelous, not only we are new creation, it is the work of the Holy Spirit every day to renew our thoughts, to renew our inner man, so that we may be in progress until what is the end. You ask St. Paul, the ambassador of Jesus Christ, to be an icon of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many sinners, many criminals, many bad men, when they truly discovered the reality of the Church, and they discovered the divine love, God the Father who sent his only begotten Son for him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to embrace him, to accept him as a member of his body through baptism, and the work of the Holy Spirit, whom we received in Mairun, the chrismation. Those who discovered the reality of the Church, they became great saints, and they witnessed to Jesus Christ by all means. Sometimes by a call by phone, sometimes by email, sometimes by smiling. We witness to Jesus Christ by our inner man. I usually say we can make distinction between the real believers and the not real believers. How? How do you make the distinction between the two? How? By joy. Those who are rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in Christ. They are in heaven. Those who are upset, where is Christ? Can you imagine when you will go to heaven, you will take some of your upset there. You will say to the Lord, I am in need of psychiatric in heaven. Never. Never. There is no place for psychiatrics there. All the heavenly hosts, all the believers are rejoicing. Why we do not rejoice here in this world? What can separate me from the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask St. Paul. He says, nothing at all. Nothing at all can prevent me or separate me from the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate me from my inner joy. This is the witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in heaven. I remember once a young lady, she was a Muslim lady or young lady, and in the office, all the office were Muslims except one person was Christian. They make a kind of agreement to make a pressure on him so that he may leave the office. They used every kind of pressure on him. He was always smiling. Then she came and asked him, "Do you feel that we make pressure on you?" He said, "Yes, but not on me." He said, "On whom?" He said, "On my Lord Jesus Christ, who is in my heart, and he can't be in harm at all." She said, "Do you have a nature, your feelings, different than our feelings?" He said, "No, I have the same feelings, I have the same body, I have the same nature, but the difference between you and me, I have my Lord Jesus Christ. He protects me. I am hidden in him. I don't care about anything. I accept everything joyfully for the Lord, for my Lord Jesus Christ." She asked him, "Can I read the Bible?" He brought to her the New Testament. And now she preached. You can't imagine how many persons from the Muslims have been converted to Christianity through this young lady. I asked her once to marry. She said, "No, I will not marry except on one condition: if God sent to me a person who devote all his life for witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially among the non-Christian. If there is a person who is ready to do that, I will accept. If not, I am very happy with my groom, my Lord Jesus Christ." I think I remember once a priest called me and said me, I was at that time in the United States, "Abuna, I am very upset." I said, "Why?" I know him very well. He's saintly priest. He said, "The young lady which you know here, perhaps every single day, she used to bring somebody and said, 'Can this person be baptized?' I don't know what I will say to the Lord Jesus Christ on the last day when she will bring hundreds of the people and said, 'Those are my children in Christ,' while I just baptized them, but I don't preach them. I am upset. What will I say to the Lord Jesus Christ?" It is the feeling of the priest, her father, in confession. It is very easy for us to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ if we, in fact, open the gates to Christ and say to him, "Welcome, be in our hearts. May your Holy Spirit work in us. Accept us as members of your body and work together as members of the same body." Then at first we are chosen. Second thing, we are living with the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing, he granted them the Holy Spirit. He asked them not to leave Jerusalem until they would receive power from above, from heaven. Then they will be supported by his own spirit. And thus they are guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in fact, is the guide of the whole church. We accept his work in our communal life and in our personal life. I know him personally even while I am celebrating the liturgy of the Eucharist. I also see him working in the whole world even while I am in private room. There is no separation between the communal life, the church life, and between the personal life. In the church now, everyone has to a personal contact between God and my inner man. When I am in my private room, I don't say my Father who art in heaven. I said, "Our Father who art in heaven." I pray on behalf of the whole world. I say to the Lord, "I can't be happy until I see the whole world enjoy and participate what I receive from you. There is no separation between the two. Sometimes there is exaggeration. Some groups said, oh, you have a personal contact with God, individual. I don't like the word individual, contact with God. There is no individual. There is a personal contact. This personal contact be in my private room, in my church, while I am among people, or if I am alone, even in a desert. Even the hermits and those who for a long time didn't see men, they were praying for the salvation of all mankind. When they left this world, they, in fact, put the word on their hands and present the word before the throne of God for the salvation of all mankind. We are in need of the work of the Holy Spirit. Before you coming to the liturgy, pray. Say to God, I want to share in the celebration. I am not going to the liturgy to attend. I am not just hearing some words. I came to share in singing songs. I came to share in praying for the sick people, for those who are in troubles, for the non-Christians, for the repentance of the sinners, and for myself, for my family, for my friends, for all the world. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He works on behalf of you and on behalf of all who surrounds you and those also who are far away from you. The last point, we said God chose us, God lives with us, and third, He grants us His Holy Spirit. The third or the fourth point, or the last one, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be transfigurated within you. My heart is the mountain of Tabor. And this mountain, on the top of the mountain, I see my Lord in His glory. And He is surrounded by the believers from the Old Testament and the New Testament. My heart, I can say, the mini church, the Lord who is dwelling among His people. My heart, in fact, is the Lord is transfigurated in my heart so that I have a communion at first with God the Father, unity with the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. I have unity with the Father because in baptism I became His own child by adoption. I attain unity with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ because without His blood I can't attain this adoption. And in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is working in the church in all its her deeds, especially in the Mairun, when we receive the Holy Spirit within us, so or the chrismation, so that we may be guided by the Holy Spirit. It is the pleasure of the Holy Trinity to reveal themselves or to in your heart. Then we have to insist, I am your ambassador. I can't imagine the ambassador of Australia when he goes to, or when he is in Egypt, he speaks about United States and he try to speak in good way about United States without mentioning to Australia. Truly, perhaps he will refer to United States, but he speaks from the point view of Australia. Then, the Lord is transfigurated in me, and through this transfiguration, I have, in fact, the icon of heaven, the agency of heaven. I can't speak except through my Lord Jesus Christ. Every word is sorted by the Holy Spirit, even in my work, even in my study, whatever, even in eating and drinking and sleeping. When we are sleeping, our hearts are awake, and the Holy Spirit is working even in our dreams. Then we are in need that the Lord be transfigurated within our hearts, so that we may truly become true ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope in not only in these couple of days, I hope all our life, all the rest of our lives, be devoted to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ within ourselves, in our inner man, and before others, so that not because we are waiting for a recompense or a reward even in heaven, but because we love our Father, we enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, we truly full of joy for the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Glory be to God. Amen.